Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping support and our sponsors. Please take time to go visit them and tell them that you've heard about us on CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kim Fink.
Pat Park.
Don Brown.
Don, welcome aboard.
Good to be aboard, brother. Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
As
the quick disclaimer, we're a 501c3 organization. We do not endorse candidates, but we endorse constitutional positions, and we accept anyone as a candidate. Don, welcome.
Any candidate who would like to come on the show and state their positions is welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here with all the caveats and the bells and whistles, and it's an honor to be here. We're going to have a lot of fun today, hopefully.
Very good. Mary, where are we going to go?
I want to talk about shrimp.
Shrimp?
Yes. Some of us went up to the State House yesterday, and
Actually, back on Tuesday.
That's right. We're recording on Wednesday. Okay, on Tuesday, some of us went up to the State House to show our support for the shrimpers. I think that's what you call them.
Watermen is a generic kind of for whatever, but yes, it was for shrimp trawling.
Yes, and there were a lot of people there, and we had a chance to talk to some of our representatives who will be voting
today
on limiting access to shrimping for the shrimpers. And this is going, if this goes through, this is going to put a lot of generational families out of business who have worked this for years.
Okay, so we need to go right to the current news from Craven County Commissioner Sherry Hunt. Good news. HB 442 has been killed. Let's all eat shrimp tonight and celebrate.
Yay.
See the power of this show? We bring the topic up, and these bad bills get killed. That's why I'm happy to be here, guys.
But it was wonderful to see. I can't estimate crowds, but the number of people that were there yesterday was astounding. In the room that they had the press conference, which only held 35 people, but it was on the edge of a courtyard type room. And that room was full. It was standing room only.
The energy was contagious as well. All the people were very kind, and you could feel that it was more like a party excitement of, you know, this is our livelihood and we're here to cheer for our side. It was, you know, it was kind of that environment.
And families were there with their kids and, you know.
You know, I also want to add that this is not a partisan issue.
It shouldn't
be a partisan issue. It wasn't a partisan issue. Listening to a couple of the speakers, and there were speakers from both parties that were there saying you could not destroy an industry.
Well, part of what big angst was the way that this amendment got put into 442. It was before the third reading, after it had passed the House with no notification to the House, no discussion of adding an amendment. And then when the amendment was added, opposition was not allowed to speak up to it because the rules chairman.
So, and then that's in the Senate.
In the Senate, correct. Originally, 442 was a good bill. It had to do with a red snapper and the flounder, and it was a good bill that was passed, but this poison pill got put in at the last minute. So there were some good things in 442, but when they put the poison pill in, it had to die so that it wouldn't come up again.
Well, I think you've got to ask the question, how do you get to the point that there is a bill in the Senate that's essentially going to kill North Carolina's fishing industry? Who is responsible for drafting that, and why? And where's the money trail on all this? And regardless of who that is, those people ought to be held to account.
Amen.
Because we're talking about generic, it got killed. I want to know who, what, when, where, and why. Whether a Democrat or Republican, they need to be held to account.
Well, we know who the amendment sponsors were. It had a gentleman, last name Craven, and Bob Raybon. But I would think when the campaign finance reports come out, it would be pretty easy to figure out where that money came from, CCA. And the Wildlife right. Commission came out in favor for it. And actually, it's against federal law for a government agency to take a side of a government of a state issue. So a wildlife of North Carolina shouldn't have gotten involved.
Additionally, North Carolina, now from Glenn, North Carolina Constitution amendment, was it a section?
Article 1, Section 1.
Section 1 and also Section 38 says that the state says we will not interfere with the ability to...
It has to do with fruits of your labor.
Fruits of your labor. We will not impair your fruits of your labor.
Which is one of the many reasons these mask and vaccination mandates from the Cooper era were absolutely unconstitutional. We're seeing it from both parties, and it's got to come to an end.
Well, the thing that was so frustrating to us is that we moved here from Massachusetts, and we watched regulations put families of Portuguese fishermen who fished on the south shore of Massachusetts out of Fall River in New Bedford. The industry was totally decimated because of overregulation.
Right.
I didn't move here to see that happen here.
Right. Well, the founding fathers believed in the basic principle that the freedom of the individual and the power of the government are inversely proportional to one another. And the overgovernmental regulation of power comes through taxation and regulation. And regulations that basically put people out of work should be off the table. You know, a true free enterprise market means that government backs off, and then you let the market take care of itself. And it's not just commercial fishermen. I mean, I grew up in this part of the state fishing in the Roanoke River, the Pamlico Sound, the Albemarle Sound, the Outer Banks, you know. And we used to, my granddaddy was in Janesville, North Carolina, and there was a big the herring run on Easter Sunday. Back in the day, there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of herring. They would run a seine across the river and pull those herrings up and fry them there in Cypress Grill. And we'd go catch them in baskets coming up. And now, all that's been shut down. The Chinese can catch all the herring they want off the coast, but not just for commercial fishermen, but for individuals. It's one of the things that makes the state great. It's made us the greatest state in the country. Government just to back the heck off at all levels. So I'm a Republican, of course, but there are some libertarian instincts in there. The more the government regulates, the worse it's going to get. So, and vice versa.
And here again, another thing that has to do with 442. There had been a study that our General Assembly had paid for, and the report is due the end of June. And we think that those few people found out that this report isn't going to side with what their position was on how bad the trawling was. So that's the timing of this. There wasn't any reason given why this was put in at the last minute. So that report coming due is the only thing any of us could think of.
And they wanted it in before that report
came out.
Before the report showed data. We've been through this with shrimping before. We were down Emerald Isle a few years ago, and where they wanted to shut down more estuaries. And Senator Bob Steinberg at the time, asked them from prior shutdowns, give us the statistics of what closing those estuaries has improved. And they said, we don't have any statistics. Why should I limit more?
Why are you closing things down when in the past you've closed things down and you don't know what the results were? That makes no sense.
What makes more sense is to close the agency down. No, seriously, if you're going to have agencies that come up with arbitrary rules and regulations simply to get off on making arbitrary rules and regulations that hurt people, then it's time to take that money back and give it to the people and kill the agency. And I think we're going to have to take that position more and more, both in the federal government and the state government, too, when it's necessary.
Well, there's a website called opensecrets.org that lists all campaign contributions. And I think we need to, when the next quarterly filing is, and I'm assuming that's the end of June,
to
take a look at some of the campaign funding of some of the people who were behind this cute little maneuver.
Right.
And we also need to take a look at some of the campaign contributions to the people who decided that Eastern North Carolina needed to put tolls on their ferries. Let's find out who's playing the games.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Now the silence. Where do we go from here?
I would like...
Did we finish up with what the Senate did in that last-minute substitution. Because not only was that last-minute substitution in this bill, there was also House Bill 441 that was there
to pay off the shrimpers.
Pay off the shrimpers, a one-time payoff. And my equivalence was that back in the era of Biden, when he decided to shut down the pipeline, he told all the pipeline workers, you can go and learn to code. Okay, so what was our shrimping family supposed to do, Kim?
Along the same line, but a little bit different topic. Yesterday, there was an article online regarding a large amount of property, wetlands property in North Carolina that developers want to fill in and build developments on, and it's like 2.5, I want to say, million acres. I don't die on a cross for that one, but it was a very large amount. So the same people who are talking about killing the nursery estuary land are in favor of filling in these wetlands, and that's in the General Assembly currently. So we need to keep our eye on that one as well.
Yes.
I just want to tell everybody, go out to the NCLEG.gov and look at what's going on today that's going to affect you.
Because it is.
It is. That's right. Mary, you wanted to take us somewhere else?
Yeah, I want to go in a totally different direction. In an election on Tuesday, Zahran Mamdani won the Democrat primary for New York City mayor. He's a socialist. That's not wonderful. But more important than that, he's associated with an organization called CARE, the Committee for American-Islamic Relations. And they were unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial. If you don't know anything about the Holy Land Foundation trial, look it up. It includes the Muslim Brotherhood plan for instituting Sharia law in America. It needs to be read by every American. He is a Democrat, so he will win. And we will have a socialist Islamist mayor in one of our largest cities. That frightens me.
Not necessarily, because Eric Adams is going to run as an independent. And I would think that people will vote for Adams before they'll vote for an Islamic socialist.
I don't know.
It's New
Adams,
York City. I mean, I would.
Blotted his copybook when he was forgiven by Trump.
I mean, I would vote for Curtis Sliwa at this point. But I don't know whether he would run as a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, again, the thing is, any of the opposition candidates all need to gang up together and just
yes,
say, we're here
we don't
to defeat.
Need this.
Ranked choice voting.
Yeah.
Which makes it worse.
Okay.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. We were made aware of a situation. Somebody thought we were implying that the fishing industry was employing illegals. That's not the case. I have reviewed recent shows and not found where that was stated. We are fully aware of the fishing and shrimping industry. These are family businesses. We just want to make sure that the CCTA did not want to disparage the industries. They're great employers. They're great family businesses.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country, to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you wanted to take us in another direction?
Yes. Don, as someone who will be a candidate for public office this year, is it this year or next year?
It's next year.
The primary is next year, but the campaign is running right now. So.
Okay. I just would like to ask you what you think are the most important issues facing North Carolina right now, and what are your solutions to some of the problems we have?
Well, it's a great question, and it really pivots off what we were just talking about. It's a threat to North Carolina workers and North Carolina industry. We were talking about shrimping earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'll pivot from that and say I was in Cabarrus County a little over a month ago talking to the Republican Party up there, and I asked the question, where is our textile industry? Mm. And same thing up in Forsyth County and High Point. Where is our furniture industry? And the fact of the matter is that those industries, and I've done legal work for Springs Industries in South Carolina, one of the biggest textile manufacturers back in the past. And the fact of the matter is these jobs have been flushed down the toilet through Democrat policies. If you go back, say, to the Clinton administration in 93 and onward with NAFTA and the most favored trade nation status for China and World Trade Organization, we flushed them down the toilet. And so you can't have a great nation, you can't have a great economy when you flush these jobs down the toilet. I grew up just down the road in Plymouth, North Carolina, for example. And as y'all may know, there's a Weyerhaeuser plant, not anymore, but there was a Weyerhaeuser plant here in New Bern. And Plymouth had the largest pulp and paper manufacturing plant east of the Mississippi River one time, flushed out of the country again by foolish trade policies. So we got to bring jobs back. So now how do you do that? I've encouraged people to go back, and if you haven't heard the interview that Joe Rogan did with Donald Trump, it's an amazing thing. If anybody listened to me, if you haven't heard it, I'd say it's 3 hours, and if you need to go back and listen to it in 30-minute segments, do it. One of the things he talks about, among many other things, is tariff policy. And the current senior senator says he wants to choke anybody that favors tariff policy. But one of the things Trump talks about with Joe Rogan is during the McKinley administration, we were making so much money coming in off tariffs, we had to have an administration to figure out what to do with the money. So the tariff proposals are to protect industry. I have been saying, and I say this all along, I say this all along. Oh, there we go. I'm seeing the cue. I love the cues. But I say this all along that we're going to be coming to a cataclysmic battle for the survival of the republic, because the current president that we have in office is historic. He is a transformational figure like only a very small handful of presidents we have. We don't appreciate it at the time, but he's going to be gone because the 22nd Amendment is going to end his second term. And they are going to come hard. And we're going to have to, in my opinion, go after the tax program. We have to go after the tax scheme. And I think that we need to end, and I will battle for this if elected to the Senate, the income tax system as we know it, so there are no more income taxes, so that y'all aren't forced, you know, to fill out a 1040 and or risk being prosecuted if you don't, or risk being prosecuted if you make a mistake. But not just individually. If you end the corporate income tax scheme, if you end that scheme, these companies that we have lost here in North Carolina, textile, furniture, whatever they mean, will come back in so fast that it'll make your head spin. So at the federal level, I think it's got to be through taxation policies to help our industries here that we're losing. I mean, Plymouth, the plant down there had 3,500 employees at its zenith. It's now down to about 350, from what I've heard, and it kills the local economy. These are foolish trade practices. So we've got to get trade practices into place and taxation practices into place. They're going to help save North Carolina industries and jobs. And so this is a perfect segue from this foolishness that was going on in the North Carolina Senate that would have killed our shrimpers here. You know, so I'm in favor of North Carolina jobs and North Carolina wages, but taxation and trade policies and ending regulation are the way to make that happen. I know that's not too long ago.
You know, Don, I just want to add one thing on taxation. I'm going to go back many, many, many years. Back at University of Rhode Island, I was doing a tax course there, and one of the questions from a friend of mine to the professor was, where's the logic in tax? Right. And that professor took off for probably more than a half an hour. There is no logic. Right. It's all special interest. Everything right. in the tax course is based on right. special interests.
Well, if our tax money was only used to fund the things that the Constitution allows,
right.
we'd be paying enough taxes.
One thing that Doge showed us is this, that the deep state, the administrative state of the federal government, is a criminal enterprise. We see the foolish things they're throwing money away on. You know, condoms for Hezbollah, or you got, you know, transgender phone apps for South America. They're paying for Sesame Street. And so the other thing that before Elon got in trouble with the president, he made a good point. And he said these NGOs, the modus operandi is this. You have some altruistic motive. Save the whales. Save the children. You know, save the spotted owl. They don't save anything. And they only got to give 5% of the money away. And they give their money away to another liberal organization. And they can grow, you know, tax-free. Okay. If you end the federal income tax code, you're going to kill these NGOs. But move the money, as you say, back to the people and slim the federal government down to its constitutional model, primarily under Article 1, Section 8. And when you do that, that's how we're going to restore freedom. The question that was asked at University of Rhode Island, they saw the sense in the world. The thing that was not said in Joe Rogan's interview with the president is this, that from 1880 till 1913, we made what I believe is the biggest constitutional mistake in history with the passage of the 16th Amendment and the passage of the First Income Tax Act. From that period of time, 1880 to 1913, the United States underwent the largest industrial explosion in history with zero income tax. Think about that. Yeah, we had some workplace abuse issues, but zero income tax exploded. It happened once and it can happen again. And we've got to have visionary thinking and leadership moving forward.
One of the things that ties into that is the reluctance of Jerome Powell to lower interest rates right now because he's playing political games with the Fed.
Right.
When Joe Biden was president, he kept on lowering them, hoping the economy would bounce back after what Joe Biden did with it. And this time he's totally been reluctant to lower them because he's playing politics. He doesn't like tariffs and he doesn't like Trump.
And again, remember that the Federal Reserve is neither federal nor a reserve.
No, and you're going back to 1913 again with
yes.
the Federal Reserve coming in and the Woodrow Wilson, the Wilson administration. As you guys know, because I can look in your eyes, and your eyes are glistening with historical knowledge. You know, there were multiple battles over the existence of a national bank. Andy Jackson opposed to it. And you know, and finally they got it rammed in like on the third attempt in the Wilson administration. But hey, we have got to have bold leadership to challenge conventional thinking that's happened in this country since 1913. We're going to have to go to war against the deep state. We're going to have to take the administrative state out and take the tax system out.
The Wilson administration did some horrible things. They did the direct election of senators.
Right.
They did the income tax.
Right.
And they did the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And if you're not up to date on the Federal Reserve, go to YouTube and look up a video called The Creature from Jekyll Island.
There you go.
And it's about an hour long, and it explains the secrecy and dishonesty that went into getting the Federal Reserve passed. And the goal of the Federal Reserve was to concentrate America's wealth in the banks of New York City.
Right.
And they have been successful in that goal.
Correct.
They have not been successful in helping the working people of America in any way, shape, or form. And the Wilson administration did a lot of damage. We need the Trump administration to have the support of Congress so they can undo some of that damage.
And part of the problem is the United States Congress, when you look at the Constitution, you have seven articles and 27 amendments. The first three articles create the federal government. Article 1 creates the Congress. Congress has abdicated its responsibility to
yes.
the nation by creating this administrative state. It happened, in three large chunks, first during FDR with the New Deal, then with Lyndon Johnson and the great so-called Great Society. And the third was under Obama with Obamacare and the takeover of the federal health system. And Congress has, we have got to have patriots in the Congress. No president can rectify the wrong that's taken place. It has to happen in the Congress. It must happen in the Congress. That's what we've got to understand. We've got to send warriors and patriots to the Senate and to the Congress. You can't just walk. Look, President Trump man, what a incredible first 120 days. We've never seen anything like it.
A breath of fresh air.
Yes, yeah. and tyranny has been stopped by the grace of God because of that man's election. However, he can come in and he can defund the Department of Education, essentially. He can do all kinds of things. If Congress doesn't kill the Department of Education, it's going to come back like a metastasizing cancer. Mm-hmm. Congress has had the guts to kill it. And these agencies must be removed and killed by Congress. And we've got to have leaders ready to go to war in Congress who could care less about whether they get elected or not.
Well, it was interesting to me. Two Democrats recently proposed a bill that would end pharmaceutical companies from advertising on TV. Now, that is something that Robert Kennedy Jr. has been talking about for years. Neither one of those senators supported the nomination of Robert Kennedy Jr. because it was a party thing.
Correct.
The Democrats didn't vote for a Republican.
Correct.
And that is one of the things that has, you know, we need, as you say, patriots who put country over party.
Correct.
And we've seen that in so many things. There was an old Groucho Marx song, "Whatever it is, I'm against it." And that is the way the Democrats feel about anything President Trump does.
Well, George Washington was opposed to political parties to begin with.
Yes.
There was never a Republican Party until 1854 when our party was formed in opposition to the Democrats who wanted to enslave people because of the color of their skin. You know, and so, but the Democrats in particular, and this whole anti-Trump thing, Trump, Hillary Clinton and Schumer were all in favor of border walls until Trump, you know, proposed it himself. So it's just go totally the opposite. And I have argument with Democrat friends, put your country ahead of your party. They simply don't do it, and it's a dangerous thing, unfortunately.
Well, two things to go with the Congress. I don't understand why we have to have these multifaceted bills that are thousands of pages long for a bill. I think if we went back to a single topic bill, it would not only be more efficient as far as knowing what you're voting for, but I think it would take a magnifying glass to the graft and the special interests that are funded through our...
The 1,000-page bill is part of a corrupt scheme that was created going back to the income tax because they can put all kinds of waste and corruption in there. I agree with
you. There's no way they can read these bills.
And that is...
They don't.
That's also taken effect locally because we're aware that apparently in the Senate there was something that 250-some-odd pages was added to a bill and you got 6 hours to...
Yeah, between the second and third reading.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous what they do. The other thing with the Congress people is we were told by several of our representatives that we don't understand how the process works. And it really is a game. And it really is you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Yes.
And they are more concerned about their next election than they are about representing the constituency.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Again. Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and we ask you to go out and visit them and just, again, let them know that you heard them mentioned. Where are you going to go?
I'm just going to throw out a question and let you guys just have at it. Why haven't any living former presidents publicly supported Trump for enforcing their unanimous red line on Iran getting a nuclear program?
Okay, please name the living former presidents.
Clinton, Obama, George W. Bush.
Why have none?
Number one, because they'd have to support Trump. And no matter what he does, they're not going to support him.
So disliking a person is more important than patriotism or...
When it comes to Trump derangement syndrome, yes.
I don't think that any of them would want to highlight their own failures as far as pointing out their failure to address the issue. And when they talk about it, I even heard a thing about Hillary Clinton, her speaking when she was running, talking about no nuclear weapon and that we would bomb them when she was running for office. So it goes back a long way, but these guys aren't going to highlight their own failures. They're going to say nothing and hope that Trump fails so that they can say, see, we were right not doing that.
Well, if we had a press, somebody in the press would ask them. We don't have a press.
It goes, I think everybody's correct, but it goes deeper than that. These former presidents are globalists. Mm-hmm. Trump's America first. Sure. So, yes, they're not going to say anything that would advance, anything would give any credence to Trump. But it's because he's a powerful nationalist and they are sold out globalists. And therein lies the reason. If let's say, Kamala had won the election, what a nightmare that would be. And
yes.
Kamala had taken this action, which we would never have done. She'd be cackling in the Situation Room, and you'd never be able to get anything done. But by some crazy hypothetical, if she had been in office and ordered the strike, they'd be all over it, complimenting her. We're glad that it happened. But you understand, this nation, the dividing line on which this nation will live or die is the dividing line between globalism, which is undergirded by secular humanism and undergirded by the Humanist Manifesto, versus America First, which is undergirded by the American Constitution, which is built upon biblical principles.
Yes.
And that's where the dividing line, because Trump is the most powerful nationalist, and I mean that in a positive way, that we've had. We've had three in my lifetime. Four.
Ronald Reagan.
John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, and Eisenhower. At the very, Eisenhower, I was born at the very end of the Eisenhower administration, who was very famously gave the admonition against the military-industrial complex repeatedly in his final address to the nation, the greatest general this nation's had other than George Washington himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it goes to philosophy. We're in a philosophical battle that is going to result in the republic, not democracy. I'm sorry, I had the pounding sound. Guys, if y'all are to hear it, see, they've got a pounding sound, and I pound the. I'm like, hey, watch it, man. Knock the candy off the table. But there is a philosophical divide on which the nation will survive or not. And the biggest mistake we can make now, we've got a powerful, no BS commander-in-chief who is giving us, as conservatives, a sense of satisfaction and safety and peace, but then we have the 22nd Amendment. And maybe if they take control of the House, the battle starts even before then. Yes, ma'am.
Just for the record, I don't want to see Trump run again, but I want to see somebody like him, even though he's one of a kind, but I philosophically like him. But it's interesting because part of our problem, our philosophical problem, which I think what you're saying is very valid, is the fact that the news media has taken sides. Unfortunately, they're on the wrong side, and they've already leaked to CNN that, it only set it back 2 weeks. However, Steve Witkoff from the, I guess he's the State Department, I'm not quite sure, has stated that is not true, that the destruction is much more serious, and we have pictures of it. And, again, our battle is against the globalists who are also represented by the media.
And to add on to that and to go back with years, Don, this goes back all the way to the education, because we are indoctrinating these kids into hating their country, into turning them into these globalist socialists. Mm-hmm. So I am all for getting rid of the Department of Education. But if you look, you can find online tests from grade school from the 1930s and 40s that I bet a senior in high school couldn't pass today.
Right.
What they're teaching in school has they're dumbing us down was the saying 15, 20 years ago. They're dumbing us down. They have. And those are the people who are now in positions of running our businesses and our companies. And
They're not teaching anything doing with critical thinking. They're trying to, again, indoctrinate their it's memory of what we tell you.
Well, Pat and I speak a little Russian. We've been playing around with our Russian. Of course, she's a true aficionado, and I speak Russian with a redneck accent. But I can tell you that no Department of Education bureaucrat ever taught me one word of French, Russian, or anything else. There was no Department of Education.
Bonjour, y'all. Come on down.
Je m'appelle Danelle et toi, comment t'appelles tu?
T'es
très jolie.
When I took French in high school, our teacher was from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And she'd say, bonjour, y'all.
Bonjour. But look, it goes back to a point made earlier. Education is not within the purview of the federal government. But communist indoctrination uses education. And in this case, they're actively pushing anti-American philosophy. I did a lot of lectures against Common Core when they were trying to ram that through. And Sandy Stotsky, who was the chair of the English department, she was overseeing the English department for the curricula. She pointed out, she resigned from that commission.
And Dr. Milgram likewise.
And Bill Milgram, who was a NASA guy from Stanford, they both resigned because the math side was dumbing us down. The highest level would have been pre-calculus, no calculus. But on the language arts side, it was dirty communist propaganda we're reading instead of Shakespeare and Dickens and Faulkner. And that's done by design. We have got to go to war. We have to understand. The worst thing we can do is get fat and happy. Oh, boy, we got Trump. Now is the time to gird our hands for a battle. As David said in the Psalms, we've got to put the pedal to the metal, and we have to destroy. The socialist democrat philosophy must be called out for the evil that it is and destroyed.
And start with the children.
Yep.
I don't feel like we're getting fat, dumb, and happy, because I think there's an implied idea that whatever Trump can't get done by the midterms, he won't get done.
Well, what I mean by that, and I'm my concern is that we get that way, because in the past, we have, Reagan gets elected, the Democrats come and win, we get happy. We know that Trump's term will end in 20, you can do the math on it, 2029, his term will end, and we don't know what is going to be beyond that. And we have got to take the bull by the horns and get out there as we the... It's either going to be we the people or they the... It's they the establishment versus we the people. We have got to make the Democrats fear us more than we fear them. We must become their worst nightmare.
Well, Elon Musk lost against the deep state.
But the blessing that we have with Trump is if you look at his cabinet and how deep in talent and how visible he is with the entire cabinet, he's not acting like he's a king on a podium. You see him with Marco Rubio and with J.D. Vance and with the other cabinet members sharing the responsibility as well as the glory, if you want to call it that. So I think he's building our future right in front of us.
Yeah, there's a method. Trump plays three-dimensional chess, you know, and he has recruited, in my opinion, the best cabinet I've ever seen.
I agree.
The most talented, the best cabinet I've ever seen.
And, you know, he had that.
The problem is, one, the cabinet will leave when he leaves, right. And two, everything he's doing right now is by executive order. Congress isn't codifying any of it. And, you know, I was listening to Sean Hannity yesterday talking about bombing Iran and about Trump trying to clean up Biden's mess. Well, Biden came in and took all the sanctions off Iran's oil dealings. And so then they were rich again. And then they started funding more the terrorism, right. Hezbollah and Hamas and so forth.
Right.
So we just whipsaw.
No, the Democrats funded Iranian terror, both during the Obama administration and the Biden administration. But it goes to the point I think you might have made earlier, Pat. I can't remember who made the point. The Congress hasn't killed the Department of Education yet. We have the constitutional scheme goes through Congress, which is why we've got to put warriors into the Congress, not yes men, but warriors, and understand that this deep state isn't taken out and taken down, we will lose our republic.
I don't think we can make any forward progress until the Supreme Court tells the lower district courts and knock it off with the nationwide injunction.
Well, this is what I'm saying. The Congress has the authority to end every district court. The only constitutionally authorized court is the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
But that's why we have to have warriors in the Congress to push it. I'm going to push what I call a Judicial Separation of Powers Act, which would remind – what's our time second over here? Which would remind the courts of what Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist 78, that they are not co-equal branches of government, that the courts should be the weakest branch, and that no federal court has any authority over either the executive or the legislative. That's exactly what was written in Federalist 78. And the greatest fear is when these judges put black robes on and try to be executives. So we've got to get back to our roots, and it has to take place in the Congress. That's where it's got to take place. We got to understand that.
Well, first of all, the Supreme Court has a perfect opportunity to knock down the Biden judge that said that his order still stands about the prisoners that were going to South Sudan.
To a third country, yeah.
Yeah. They're out in Djibouti waiting to decide, do we get to leave them there or do we have to fly them back? Because that inferior judge said, my order stands. I don't care what the Supreme Court said.
I like when you say inferior. That's exactly what the Constitution calls it.
And it's crazy. Folks, we're going to take our break just a little bit early. And again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said E70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at E70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at E70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If E70 Pond doesn't doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now, Eric, you want to introduce Don? tell us what you're running for and what your positions are. And
well, running for the United States Senate against Senator Tillis. Mm-hmm. Senator Tillis has. I've been in more than 30 counties in the last 3 weeks in North Carolina. The Republican base is furious with him. There have been a number of, you know, crazy acts he's taken, going all the way back to sponsoring legislation to support Robert Mueller, who was an unconstitutionally appointed prosecutor after Trump associates. And opposing Trump on the border wall. Going back when Trump wanted to declare an emergency at the border in 2019, he wrote an op-ed opposing that. You know, and then when you're coming into this administration, single-handedly tubed the Ed Martin nomination. Says he wants to choke anybody who supports tariffs. Opposes the president's attempt to get prescription drug prices under control via executive order. And now, as the Senate looks at this big, beautiful bill, he wants to incorporate green energy boondoggle in it. I've been told that the president, from someone who would know the president, calls him my favorite Democrat. But the thing that really was the straw that broke the camel's back, in my opinion, I've worked very closely with Pete Hegseth, our great Secretary of Defense, on rules of engagement issues. Pete and I worked together with some other former JAG officers also to secure a presidential pardon for Clint Lawrence, 82nd Airborne Paratrooper. Worked very closely. Tillis comes in saying, I'm going to support the president's nominees if they come out of committee. Pete comes out of the Armed Services Committee, and Trump tries to torpedo that nomination.
Tillis.
I'm so sorry. Tillis comes out of that. Let me back up. Pete comes out of the Armed Services Committee. Tillis tries to torpedo the nomination. And I know for a fact that Trump was furious about that. And I think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. We've got a guy who has a record of being anti-Trump on crucial issues, on immigration matters especially, supporting an unconstitutional prosecutor, and then on the issue of J6. I don't think there could be more of a stark contrast. I've been a J6 attorney. In fact, I'm one of only a very small handful of attorneys in the United States to have the president of the United States, Donald Trump, pardon not one, but two of my clients who were subject to political prosecution, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, and who was the 82nd Airborne Paratrooper, and Elliot Bechet, we think maybe the youngest of the J6 Patriots who simply walked into the Capitol and walked out. And I'll never forget the morning of the 21st of March, 2021, the FBI had been trying to talk to this kid, and I wasn't going to let him talk to the kid. The kid just walked in and walked out. I get a call from the kid's dad in Fort Mill, South Carolina. He said, Don, I've got 12 FBI counterterrorism agents raiding my house right now. I'm thinking, holy smokes, what'd the kid do? I said, I tell you what, I'll throw a suit on. I drive down to the Matthew J. Perryman Federal Courthouse in Columbia, South Carolina, call a bondsman, knew the battle was going to be and whether they were going to incarcerate the kid.
Walk into the federal courthouse, see the U.S. attorney and say, what's up? He shows me a charge sheet. 5 misdemeanors, all trespass related. And the U.S. attorney told the judge, Your Honor, the defendant, Mr. Bechet, he didn't harm an officer. He didn't break anything. But this is January 6th. This cannot happen. Just a bunch of political garbage. And Tillis has said that, and I've written a book called Kangaroo Court. By the way, I'm an author. I've written 16 books. The most recent was Kangaroo Court, which came out in October, this past October. And I analyzed J6 prosecutions versus the George Floyd prosecutions. 95% of all George Floyd misdemeanors were dismissed. 98% of misdemeanors against J6ers were prosecuted. It's been an attack on the United States Constitution. And Tillis has said, if you walked into the Capitol, no matter what, you should go to prison. Senator Tillis, we have a thing called a First Amendment in this country, and there are two fundamental rights guaranteed, the right to free speech and the right to petition the government for redress of grievances, which most of these patriots were doing. So there could be not more of a stark difference. We need a senator who will have the president's back the last 2 years of his administration. And my track record shows that I have. I've been endorsed by Sidney Powell, who was a patriot attorney. Sidney and I and others worked to try to stop the 2020 election steal. I've represented J6 patriots. I've been involved in litigation against these dangerous experimental mRNA vaccines, sued the Savannah River plant. There could not be more of a diametrical difference between me and the good senator. We're going to take him down. And we're going to take him out. We want people to go to brown4nc.com. And he's got tons of money. We need all the help we can get. We can raise the money. We will take him out. And we will take Roy Cooper out. And I can't wait to kick Roy Cooper's fanny also, which is what we're going to do.
Did you say you'd been endorsed by Major General Flynn?
We have. Been endorsed by Sidney Powell, patriot attorney, by Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who I just found out the field is named for him. I knew he was a New Britain Bear, one of the great living military officers in the nation today, and by the 24th National Security Advisor of the United States, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, who's endorsed our campaign as well. So these great patriots believe that I'm the guy, and I'm honored and humbled by that. But we're going to go to the Senate, and we're going to fight like you've not seen from a senator from North Carolina ever. And we're going to take the seat that was once held by Jesse Helms, the great Jesse Helms, and I'm a conservative because of Jesse Helms. We're going to restore it to an America First, MAGA, Constitution First, America-loving, God-loving representative of the people.
You know, one of the things that you bring up, Jesse Helms, and again, we were not in the state at that time, but again, we've heard a number of times Jesse Helms would tell people, You may not agree with what I say or do, but you will always know where I stand. And thank
Walter
you.
Jones was known for that as
and
well.
And Walter Jones also, and we had the privilege of meeting and working with him.
I've worked with Walter Jones also. We worked with the congressman on some rules of engagement issues in 17 and 18. When Mac Thornberry was the chair, Walter Jones was on the Armed Services Committee. He was taken from us too soon. But I can tell you, Walter Jones was a soldier's. I know we're in Marine territory here, so I mean, when I say soldier, I'm talking referring to everybody. He was a soldier's congressman who put the enlisted guy first, and he worked very hard to clear the records of two Osprey pilots who the Ospreys went down, and the Marines blamed it on pilot error because they didn't want to lose the contract with the Ospreys because it was mechanical function. Walter Jones worked with me also. I wrote the book and did the investigation on Extortion 17, which is a shoot down of a Chinook helicopter in Afghanistan in 2011. There's been a movie made on that called Fallen Angel, distributed by Salem. But Walter Jones worked with us to put some hard questions to the Armed Services Committee. So I love that guy. I love Jesse Helms. We've had a great tradition of some conservatives in the Congress of North Carolina. We got to send warriors back to the Congress and to the Senate. And when I say the Congress, I mean both houses.
Amen.
You said you were a JAG officer. I always like to ask our guests to explain acronyms, because I'm sure we have plenty of people in our audience that doesn't know what a JAG is.
Well, it depends on how old you are. JAG, nobody knew what a JAG was. There was a TV show called JAG a few years ago, and the great movie about the Navy JAG Corps was A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, which is based on a true story. JAG is Judge Advocate General. It's an officer in the military who happens to be an attorney. And so I was privileged to serve in the U.S. Navy for a total of 16 years. 5 active, 11 in the reserves. A lot of reserve time was inactive reserve, but if I had to do it over again, I would do it again, but I would not take the jab to try to force it on me. So there you go.
Well, we have several in this group who did not get the jab.
Right. Didn't get the jab.
No, and I did not get the jab. And let me tell you, I don't want to prolong this, but when we sued, you know, there were 78 plaintiffs that I represented, the Savannah River plant in North Augusta, in Aiken, South Carolina. We make nukes there and nuclear materials there and have for years. And the Biden Department of Energy went to the principal contractor there, Savannah River Nuclear Solutions, and said, hey, either you force your employees to take jabs or we're going to cut the money. We're going to cut the federal contracts. So 78 of them retained me. We wound up suing them in federal court first in South Carolina. We went to the Fourth Circuit in Richmond before Biden finally backed down, not because of my brilliant lawyering, but he backed down. But sometimes you just have to stand there and fight. We save their jobs. But I want to share this with you. We pulled the government's VAERS numbers. VAERS, anybody listening out there, is the Vaccine Adverse Reaction System. It's a voluntary reporting system the federal government has used for vaccination adverse reactions for many years. And I'm going to tell you this because your government didn't tell you this, but from January of 2021 until October of 2021, in that 10-month period, there are more deaths, D-E-A-T-H-S, reported from these three jabs and from every other vaccine over a 30-year period combined, and your government kept that from you.
And that was, yeah, and then they stopped reporting.
That's correct.
They stopped reporting that.
And
yes,
they
we're aware
also,
of that.
In their push to get everyone to take the vaccine, they discounted natural immunity.
Of course they did.
And we saw that. We had COVID before they had a shot.
Right.
And a year later had our antibodies tested.
Right.
And still had immunity.
Yep.
2 years later had our antibodies tested, still had immunity. And that was totally ignored.
To go back with back to your Army kind of metaphor stories, I'm curious about the whistleblowers who have been prosecuted, like was Stuart Schiller. He was a whistleblower after the botched Afghanistan. He lives in Jacksonville, around the Jacksonville area, so you know he's kind of a local guy, but he was incarcerated. He was stripped of his rank, of his pension, of everything. And I kind of look at him as a hero because we wouldn't have known a lot of the things that went wrong if he hadn't done what he did. Now, agreed, he didn't follow the correct process. Going out on YouTube wasn't especially the correct way to get his message out. But I think his message, we needed to hear it.
The corruption of the deep state has the method has been to destroy people who expose the corruption from within. And we see stories just like that. We see people that drop dead all of a sudden. What happened to Andrew Breitbart? I don't know, but I'm suspicious about what may have happened to him. Mm. What happened to Justice Scalia? I don't know. But you have to wonder why there was never an autopsy. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I'm not saying I know, but these things simply don't make sense. That's why I'm saying we've got to take the deep state down as a corrupt entity, and they'll do anything. We've seen whistleblowers within the pharmaceutical industry drop dead. And by the way, one of the hottest topics out on the campaign trail is medical freedom. These mRNA vaccines got to be pulled off the market. And why are you giving the jab manufacturers immunity when our shrimpers don't get immunity? I'm going to fight to end that. And I think Bobby Kennedy's done a good thing by firing a dozen of the advisors to the CDC. And if the CDC doesn't get his act together, you defund that and you end that agency as well.
And likewise, what you were saying, why was ivermectin pulled off of approved?
And because they couldn't make it an emergency vaccine if there was a cure for the disease.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Ivermectin, the inventor, won the Nobel Prize for Medicine. The NIH called it, just a few years before COVID, the third wonder drug of the world after penicillin and aspirin. And so there you go.
Well, I took horse paste when I had COVID.
I might have some in my computer bag right now. If you need some, it's apple flavored.
That's the one I had too.
Okay, Don, give us your website again.
Brown, BROWN4FORNC.com, BrownFORNC.com. We're building the website out. We got a lot of positions on there. We need folks to go in there and give whatever you can give, 5, 10, 15, 20, or up to 3,500 if you can. Tom Tillis, who has stabbed the president in the back, is getting $7,000 checks.
Okay.
And we the people are going to take this race or we're not. We're going to take it. Thank you.
Well, folks, again, first off, CCTA, we do not endorse candidates. We do endorse constitutional positions. But again, I want to say thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for listening. If there is an opposing candidate that wants to come on, we're going to give you the airtime. We're going to question you, though. Be cautious. The CCTA wake-up call.